Welcome to the Medical Association of Georgia's award-winning Top Doc Show. With more than 8,000 members who care for patients in every specialty and practice setting, MAG is the leading voice for physicians in Georgia. Go to mag.org to join MAG if you're a physician in Georgia. And thanks to MAG Insurance Agency for its support as a sponsor.
Welcome to the Medical Association of Georgia's award-winning Top Doc Show. With more than 8,000 members who care for patients in every specialty and practice setting, MAG is the leading voice for physicians in Georgia. Go to mag.org to join MAG if you're a physician in Georgia. I'm Jeremy Bonfini, the Executive Director and CEO of the Medical Association of Georgia. Today, we're here to talk about an issue that's been in a lot of media, a lot of press, a lot of medical publications about burnout, clinical burnout, staffing shortages, the huge toll that the pandemic has taken on the healthcare workforce, and what we can do about it. I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Renethia Baker, Assistant Medical Director of People and Culture at the Southeast Permanente Medical Group. Dr. Baker, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jeremy, for having me.
It's my pleasure. You've got a great story to tell and some good results, and we're just so excited that you're here to share it with us today. Tell us briefly about yourself and your role inside of TSPMG.
Thank you. So my Georgia roots run deep. I'm a Georgia native from Macon, Georgia, born and raised, and I attended Emory University for medical school. And my very first job out of residency was in Tifton, Georgia, working in the rural population. I'm a pediatrician by training, and I've been a part of the Southeast Permanente Medical Group for about 15 years. I was in community practice and transitioned over to the integrated health practice model. I loved what Kaiser Permanente stood for in that regard about value-based care. It drew me to the organization, and I'm happy to serve as the Associate Medical Director of People and Culture. When people ask me, what does that mean? It really means looking at the employee journey from just the beginning of recruitment all the way through retention and retirement. So I look at every aspect of the physician's journey over the course of their career and find ways, programs, things, resources to help make that better. And we hope that everyone that comes and joins our medical group, that they will decide to hang their hat with us and stay with us.
That's great. So on the topic of burnout, how has your organization addressed this?
So, you know, burnout's an issue that's on top of mind for everyone. And I think particularly for healthcare workers and physicians, we've all just suffered through the pandemic. And I think it was pretty alarming for most of us when we saw the rates of burnout increase pretty dramatically in 2021. 2020 burnout was sitting at about 38% nationwide for physicians, and it increased to about 63%. That was very alarming for folks. And so one of the first things that we decided to do at TSPMG is actually measure it. We had not measured it before, but we wanted to sort of see what was our burnout rate and to begin to think about what we could do about it. And there are a lot of frameworks out there. The Surgeon General has a framework for addressing healthcare worker burnout, the AMA, Stanford. We decided to go with the AMA's framework. It just gave us an organized way to think about it. So when you look at the AMA's approach to it, and I like it, their Joy in Medicine framework really is about six parts. That first part is the assessment. Measuring your burnout, getting some type of an inventory, whether it's Maslach, burnout inventory, or others, to say, what is the burnout rate for the physicians in my medical group or my organization? And then it's really getting a commitment from the very top, your executives, your leaders within your healthcare system, getting their commitment to address it and to actually focus on it and to put resources behind it. And then I think the next piece would be teamwork. how we've got to all think differently about how we team, how we work with nursing shortages and physician shortages. We've got to think about how do we staff, how do we appropriately care for patients with the staffing shortages that we're all experiencing. And so how do we help teams work together better, more effectively, and more efficiently? Leadership development. I think physicians always want to see how they can advance in their careers. And so opportunities for developing good leaders in that clinical space. How do we have thought partners out there in healthcare, and how do we create that with our leadership development programs? And then there's, of course, wellness resources. And we all think about that traditionally with EAP and behavioral health support and things of that nature. But that sixth piece of it, Jeremy, is I think one of the places where we've got to spend a lot of time, and that really is around practice efficiency. Making sure that we are looking at all of the things that are inefficient in our systems when it comes to burnout and addressing it from a systems approach. When I think about burnout, what really resonated with me for the AMA is that even though burnout manifests in the individual physician, it is really not about individual resilience. It's really about working in systems that are chaotic, that are inefficient, where there's heavy administrative burden. I think those are the things that are burning our physicians out, and we have to take a systemic approach when we look at those things.
That's great. I love that you started with if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. So starting with that baseline is very impressive and important. And then looking at a systems approach as opposed to a focus on a specific, challenge. It's just this physician, or if it's just doctors, it's a systems approach. And that's really inspiring and encouraging. Can you talk a little bit about the pain points that you found as you went through the systems analysis and maybe how you've addressed them?
Absolutely. One of the things that we did after we measured burnout, we actually started doing some focused listening to our providers. We created a crowdsourcing campaign that we called Pebbles in Your Shoe, right? Because we know that it's those little things that you experience in your workday that are frustrating or that sort of burn people out. And we heard a lot of them. When we opened up that challenge, we got 160 pebbles, if you will, little things that were sort of burning people out within our system. And so we decided to take a look at those things. What were they? And what we found is that a lot of it had to do with administrative burden and the inability for physicians to work at top of scope. They were doing a lot of work that really wasn't what I would call doctor work or work that they needed to do as a physician. And I think people find great meaning and purpose in their work when they're working at top of their license and doing things that are exciting and makes them think through the practice of medicine. And it's not pushing paperwork, it's not being on phones for referrals, it's not all of those type of things. And so we needed to take a systemic look at how do we reduce that. I think the other thing that was surprising to us, or not surprising, but that we sort of knew we needed to focus in on, is this concept of asynchronous work. Technology and the electronic medical record are great, great ways to do medicine. I'm old, so I used to practice with paper charts and medical records and all of that stuff. So the electronic medical record is a big, big win for us in healthcare, but it does create asynchronous work. While we're seeing patients, there are email messages, referrals, labs, all sorts of things piling up in our in baskets that we have to sort of do. And so we needed to figure out systems to remove some of that burden. How do we take some of the redundancy out of the electronic medical record, redundant messages? And then how do we leverage technologies such as AI and ambient listening to make charting and these things more effective and efficient for physicians?
I love it. Pebbles in your shoes. I think the language that we use is so important because if it's a focus on burnout, that's stigmatizing, that you can't cut it around here. You, physician, you're the problem. Everyone has pain points they experience every day. What other ways have you addressed destigmatizing mental health concerns?
Yeah, that's really, really key and important. What we find is that physicians are reluctant to seek help when they need it because there's a stigma attached to it. They're worried about their medical license or their reputation, or just like you said, this thought that I can't cut it. A lot of us trained where it's like, push through, get through, keep the patients alive, push through it. We train that way. And so it was really important for us to begin to help people find their voice. And so one of the things we ran this past, or 2023, was a campaign called Let's Keep the Conversation Going, where we got a lot of brave physicians to just step up and do videos that we put out to the entire medical group talking about these things: burnout, depression, what it's like to have, just a marital distress, or just stress with your kids, raising teenagers. I've got a crazy teenager. I mean, it's all stress, right? How do we talk about it together? How do we make it okay? And then how do we make sure that every physician within our medical group knows what our resources are and knows how to get those resources? And I think a key piece for us, a key focus for us for 2024, will be focusing on expanding those resources and making sure that we have ways that folks can access resources that are confidential. Because sometimes people don't want to make that call to EAP, or they don't want to see a psychologist or a counselor. So you've got to think about things like chatbots that will allow someone to confidentially seek care or seek help without having their identity disclosed, or without having it disclosed to a fellow colleague or something of that nature. So that'll be a big focus for us in 2024, is figuring out how do we expand our resources to include those sources.
Right. Do you feel that physicians are comfortable seeking help from their employers? And if they are, what conditions need to be put in place, for them to feel comfortable?
No, I think it's leveraging it, making sure that we train our physician leaders to recognize when their colleagues might be getting in trouble. We recognize these things sometimes in our patients. We recognize when we're seeing signs of stress, chronic stress, or depression in patients, but we've got to learn to realize we're each other's best resource and to recognize it in each other as colleagues. And then those of us that are in physician leadership, recognizing it in our teams and teaching our leaders to recognize it and to openly have conversations with folks. Just pulling someone aside and saying, I'm a little concerned about you, and I just want to make sure you're okay. And that checking in, that sense of community, is something that I think a lot of physicians feel like they're missing. It's got to be easy to do. You've got to have opportunities for folks who want to do it confidentially. It's got to be quick, and it's got to be accessible. Those are all the things. If it's complicated, if it's dial this and go here and do that, those are going to be barriers for physicians to seek the help. And so you sort of have to bring it to them. One of the things that we did in the height of the pandemic is we brought EAP services directly within our MOBs. We actually brought the counselors in and just said to folks, if you need to see someone, take 20 minutes out of your day and go and talk to a counselor. Of course, that 20-minute session is not a therapeutic session, but it's just enough to sort of get you talking about what you need and letting that EAP counselor point you to further resources that we have available. But you've got to make it really easy for people to do. You've got to take the stigma away. And I think it's helpful when leaders sort of speak out about it themselves and model that behavior for the rest of the physician medical group.
Great. The interventions sound very inspiring and I love it. What are you going to do to measure your progress? Are there metrics that you have in place to see if your interventions are succeeding?
Yeah, so we do something called an engagement survey. We call it our listening survey, and we do it every year. In that, we take a look at burnout, which we started measuring in 2021, but we also look at physician engagement and wellness, as well as EID and safety, both psychological safety and just the safety of our systems in terms of patient safety. We measure that data across, and we're tracking certain metrics. So what we know is that if we can make physicians feel valued in our environment, it's a great mitigator against burnout. It also helps us with retention. People that feel valued tend to stay on the job if they feel like they have meaning, purpose, and value. So we closely watch that metric around valuing, making sure that people feel valued. We closely watch the metric around engagement to make sure that our physicians are engaged. And we closely watch the metrics around health, particularly mental health, and having the resources in place that they feel that they need.
Great. This has been very interesting, and I think that a lot of our physicians and our listeners will benefit from your expertise and your experience. What other issues should we be aware of? What else would you like to share with the physicians and our listeners today?
No, I think the thing that I would say to the most is to not be nervous about measuring burnout. I think when we first had conversations in our medical group about measuring it, some folks felt a little nervous about that. Like we don't know what we don't know, and then what will we find out, and what will we do about it? I think that what we found is when we started asking the questions, physicians were very relieved and happy to share with us how they were feeling, how they were experiencing our system. And they have ideas about how you can make it better. So I would say to our listeners, finding a framework like the AMH Joy in Medicine framework or the Surgeon General framework or others just gives you a roadmap and a place to sort of guide the work. A lot of folks are already doing the work, but organizing it in a way that you can develop metrics that you can track and follow. And then getting out there in front of your physicians and asking questions and getting their input into what they feel they need are the keys to being successful.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Baker. I do want to put in a pitch for our efforts around physician resilience here at MAG. We have a group chaired by a number of our leading physicians. Dr. Keisha Callens is the chair of the MAG GRIT organization focused on physician resilience. It's funded generously by the Alliant Health Solutions Foundation and the Physicians Foundation. On the legislative front, we're looking to change Georgia law to ensure that physicians have protection should they seek mental health and it doesn't impair their ability to treat patients. So we have legislation that's been introduced in the House, passed in the House, and is now pending in the Senate to create a safe haven for physicians who are experiencing early stage burnout and could benefit from support from independent third parties. So we have GRIT, we have Safe Haven. This is an effort that MAG is extremely invested in. The Southeast Permanente group has an incredible wealth of knowledge that we all can benefit from and find ways to take that knowledge and apply it to medical groups of any size throughout the state. So, Dr. Baker, thank you so much. We appreciate your contribution. We welcome you to the GRIT program that MAG has organized, and we look forward to reporting that legislation has been passed to further give protection to physicians in the state legislative session that's currently underway. So, thank you so much, Dr. Baker. I want to thank our listeners. Please feel free to tune in to the next episode of Top Docs here at MAG. So thank you and have an outstanding week.
Thank you.
Thanks for watching this episode of Top Docs. Please share this program with your colleagues and family and friends. Remember to follow MAG on Facebook and Twitter. And don't forget that you can get past episodes of the show at mag.org/topdocs. From everybody at MAG, we look forward to catching up with you on our next episode of Top Docs.